The presenting sponsor of Moon Tower Soccer is FVF Law.
To find out what makes FVF a different kind of injury law firm, you can visit FVF.law.
Hello, friends, and welcome to Swoon Tower Soccer. I'm Steph Craniola.
And I'm Mike Craniola.
And we're here to talk about the boys.
It's about time.
It's been a while.
Listen, we have been hibernating. We have been sleeping. We have been waiting for the new season, and it is upon us.
Yeah. Sleeping is something I wish we had been doing. But... I'm excited to be back.
We have crawled out of our hibernation nightmare of the 140-day long off season.
And was it that long?
Yeah, it was 140 days from
That's
the last
so many
time
days.
We were in Q2 Stadium until the match against Minnesota. And, you know, I am glad that over those 140 days, I was able to convince you to come back to the show.
You know what? Getting rid of Rodney hurt.
Yeah.
It hurt. And I said I was going to quit Swoon Tower.
And you did.
And I did. And I am nothing if not a man of my word.
But
a mom of my word.
Here you are. Now you're back.
You've convinced me to give the club a second chance.
You just couldn't stay away, could you?
I couldn't. We got so many new boys that it's hard to resist.
Yeah, honestly. So that seems like a good place to jump off. We've got a couple of new boys.
Yeah. Woo, woo, woo.
Who is...
It's a new boy alert. Woo, woo.
Who's your favorite of the new boys?
Ooh, who's my favorite? I think Biru.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Guilherme?
He's very handsome.
Yeah, my favorite of the new boys is Diego Rubio. I have been a fan of his for a super long time, and I'm really excited he's coming to our team.
He's also very handsome.
Yeah, settle a debate for me with Diego Rubio.
Okay.
What color is Diego Rubio's hair?
Brown.
Thank you. I agree.
Okay.
That is all. There are folks on the internet who are claiming Diego Rubio to be a dark blonde, and I do not believe it.
Yeah, but you don't believe that dark blonde exists.
That's a different conversation than this one specifically right now.
Sure, but I think that you're wrong. There is such thing as dark blonde. But I do think from these pictures, it looks like Diego Rubio is a brunette.
Yes. This Rubio is moreno. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, boy. I also want to talk a little bit about Brendan Hines-Eich.
I figured you would.
Because I love his face.
Yeah, that seems like a guy who would be right in your wheelhouse.
Yeah, he is. My house has a wheel. And I think it's because he looks so French.
Okay, okay.
He's got that kind of like French face.
Good old French face.
So I think that Biru is my favorite because not only is he handsome, but he is also scortical.
That's fair, and also unfair to new man Stephen Cleveland, who, you know,
he hasn't saved a goal yet.
Sure, but it would have been a big shocker if he had scored a goal, you know.
Sure. Well, I mean, Brad almost had an assist.
That's true.
On Saturday, so
that is
it
true.
Is not out of the realm of possibility.
Man, he deserved that
yeah,
assist.
He really did.
That's a different conversation. In addition to all these new boys that we have,
Stephen Cleveland is fine, by the way.
Wow, fine.
Well, he's
I like
blonde.
Him. Yeah.
So already second tier boy.
Wow, Steph out here.
Y'all know what I like.
That's fair.
You know all, everyone who's ever listened to this podcast knows exactly what I like.
That's
it's
fair.
Someone who looks kind of like Mike.
I'm pretty lucky, y'all. Speaking of looks and blondes, Emmy Rigoni with his newest hairstyle.
I like it.
I also like it. I said from the very top of the supporters section where I was helping with TIFO on Saturday, I said, you don't do that to your hair if you're not going to score 20 goals in a season.
Amen.
So he came into the match, I assumed, feeling himself.
This is the season of Ragone.
Yeah, I thought that was going to be the case.
We're getting there. See, we're only one match in. Give him right. time. Well, let him cook.
Let him cook. So y'all know how we normally do this show. We have standard segments. We have the mascot of the match, our match Scott segment. We have fit checks. We do match moods and pitch personalities, Sally ratings, social media standouts, and then we pass it to Steph to find out who's the man of her jersey. And so this week, I wanted to hop in because I got to interview Bastion alone.
Yeah, so I was at the wonderful World of Walt Disney doing a 5 and 10K Run Disney princess race. It was really fun. It was my first 10K ever, my second 5K ever, and I'm very proud of myself for being there and doing it and surviving.
I'm also very proud of you for all of those things, but I am more proud of myself for meeting Bastion.
I did miss meeting Bastion.
Let's go to the interview, and then we'll talk about Bastion on the other side.
All right, I am here with Bastion. Oh, thank you. Bastion, I want to know, are we going to go 34-0-0 this year? Yeah, I thought so too. All right, Bastion, and then of the new boys this year, who is your favorite new boy? Oh, mine too. Yeah. All right, Bastion, real quick, can we get a listo verde? Let's go.
What a sweet dog.
Can you even believe it?
So if I were there, I simply would have asked Bastion how he plans, how he advises Austin FC to handle and fight the nothing. Being the nothing goals that we had been scoring.
Wow.
For those of you who that's too deep a cut, Bastion is the name of the boy in the Neverending Story, and the nothing is the, I guess, villain or antagonist of that movie. That was a too deep a cut for Mike.
Explaining a joke makes it funnier. And
yeah,
I'm glad
I just wanted
you did
to
it.
I just wanted to say my joke, and when you didn't get it, I wanted to say it and hope that people got it. And then I wanted to explain it so no one was left out.
Yeah, you nailed it.
Thank you.
Bastion is a 7-year-old mixed breed dog. He weighs 81 pounds of snuggle, and y'all, he was so gentle and so cute and so soft with all of the kids that came up to love on him, and I couldn't believe what a like an angel dog he is. If you are looking for a big old cuddler, Bastion's your guy. I give this pup 10 explained jokes out of 10.
You want to talk a little bit about how they're doing the match Scott new this year, too?
Yes. So this year, instead of dragging the dogs all around the stadium, putting them in all sorts of crazy, you know, places and squeezing them through that tiny little south end concourse, they are in one place this year. They will be found near section 136, like 135, 136, 137, somewhere in there. There is a table that is set up right on, like, right in front of the Austin's table kind of space.
Oh, okay.
There next to Pluckers, you know, like, yep, on the opposite side. For folks who have been here a long time, it's exactly where they were doing the free COVID shots in 2021. So that's where you can meet your mascot of the match every match this year.
It's so much better, I think, for the dog, for the volunteers, like,
yeah,
being covered and being in a place that, you know, people can find you and you're not trying to navigate the dog through the crowds or the heat or the rain. I think it's a really good call.
Yeah, I'm super excited personally because this saves a lot of running around the stadium.
A lot of texting Susie being like, oh, we're here. We're, oh,
hey, help.
Oh,
where,
oh,
are you?
We met. Oh,
are you here yet? No. Okay. Where will you be when you are?
Yeah.
So covering that side of it, from a, you know, from a media relations,
yes,
standpoint, yeah, I really appreciate it.
I am disappointed, Mike.
I know
that we only got one animal interview this week because there was an armadillo.
There
was a whole dillo
There
at
was
the stadium, and you didn't even fight for an interview with that Dillo.
So I have two excuses. One, I didn't know there was going to be an armadillo. No one told me. So this goes to the club. How dare you bring an animal into the stadium and not let...
Yeah, I do think it's important to let us know.
Yeah. And two, dillos are nocturnal. And so when I got to the match while the sun was out, I'm sure the dillo wasn't ready. Then I had to be in my seats.
I mean, listen.
Because how else am I going to report on match moods and pitch personalities?
People do like Today Show interviews well before their waking hours. I'm just saying that if Christina Aguilera can hit the high note in Reflection at 6 o'clock in the morning for TV, then that dillo could have given an interview.
I don't know. I don't know. He looked pretty grumpy when the lights turned on.
I'm sure Christina Aguilera was too.
When they went from the like the deep verde lights to the white lights, that armadillo was trying to nope out.
It's wake up o'clock.
Yeah, he was not into it, but he was very cute.
Yes, he was very cute.
All right, you want to move in to the question of the week from like some of our friends. They want to know which of the boys should adopt which pets.
Ethan Finley has big horse girl energy.
That's a great, great shout.
I think he would adopt a horse.
I could see him adopting a horse, having like a ranch after retirement, right? Like a
now, but yeah,
a retired horse ranch
or a goat. No, you know who has big goat energy?
Is it Rigoni?
Oh no, it actually wasn't. I was gonna say Johan Valencia.
I could see Johan with a goat. I could see Johan with like a pygmy goat.
Yes, that's what I mean. Like the ones they do yoga with.
Yes.
I just assume Valencia does yoga. He seems like he would do sunrise yoga.
I could see Johan Valencia with a pygmy goat and Emmy with a regular goat.
Yes, that's fair.
Like an old one.
When I said...
You know what I mean? Like one of the like elderly goats.
When I said goat, I had meant like a pygmy goat, like the cute little...
And now?
Hee-haw ones, yeah. Now, I think you're right.
Yeah. I think the cat is a perfect perfect pet.
A perfect dog?
Yeah. I think a cat is the perfect dog for Danny Pereira.
Yes.
I think
loves his cat so much.
Oh my gosh, I know. Every time he's streaming, he's playing with it. Like, oh, it's so cute.
It's so cute.
And like, I think he lucked out with that cat specifically who lets Danny play with them.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because not all of them are like that.
Yeah. Who's a bird person? I think Jean is a bird person.
Yeah, sure. Or a bearded dragon person. He strikes me as the type who would raise a bunch of lizards. Like a lot. You know what I mean?
An unhealthy amount of lizards. Ooh.
Yeah, yeah.
Ooh, who would have a snake?
Ooh, who would?
Alex Ring is cool enough.
Alex Ring is cool enough to have a snake, and I think, like, you could say that Jossie would have a snake, but not like it. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. One of his kids wants a snake. You know, like, they want a snake.
Yeah.
And Jossie's like, oh, fine.
Yeah. I think that Owen Wolf is a hedgehog boy.
Is this just because of his pointy little haircut?
No, it's because I think that he would want something like when you have siblings who are also like doing the thing you're doing, right? You want something that's yours. And I think he'd be like, oh, you know, we have a dog. We got this. It's whatever. Like, I want a hedgehog. Like, I want something that's like mine and makes me special and also takes very little like actual like. Playing with, right? Like, he's not gonna train a dog, he's not gonna do all of the necessary things that cats make you do all day, but he would have like a terrarium animal, and I think a hedgehog is perfect for him.
Great. I love that.
Hedgehogs are the best pets.
Yeah, you are obsessed with hedgehogs.
I had hedgehogs.
Yeah, that tracks.
I see myself in Owen Wolf.
It sounds like it. Speaking of,
what if, okay, so what if this season, what if my child is Owen Wolf that I can fiercely protect And then when everyone's talking about parental favoritism, I can feel special.
I was going to say, he's already got a parent that's protecting him. So let's move into fit checks, shall we?
Yeah, that was fun. If you want us to talk about more things like that, tell us.
Yeah.
And we'll do it.
Or talk to us about anything weird like that, and it'll probably end up in the show.
Yep. All right, fit checks. There were some good ones.
Yeah.
Some decent. My favorite thing about the fit checks this week was on Instagram. They did the post, and Sam.Carlson8 commented, "Stylin', what's with the bags?"
Great question.
Sam, great question.
Great
we all
question.
Want to
I've
know.
Liked it. I've liked that question.
We all need to know.
Yeah.
So, great question. We don't have an answer for you. Anyway, somehow Alex Ring made khaki worse than it already is by putting it in corduroy, a despicable fabric.
I noticed that you didn't go after Julio for wearing literally the same color. And also, is that the same fabric?
No.
No, it's not.
It's not. And also, Julio looks so good. And Alex Ring looks great, too. It's just I wouldn't want to touch him. And that's an important feature of outfits. Like Johan Valencia's puffy vest. Oh, I want to touch that.
Sure.
What I don't want to touch Alex Ring's corduroy khaki.
What about John Gallagher's striped shirt here? Do you think it has a texture?
I think Gally's shirt, and I know, I don't think it has a texture. I think it just like is doing that weird thing that stripes do in photographs, but I think it looks like, you know, when they have new shapes of cars or like new additions of cars. I don't know anything about cars. Yeah. And they put it in those wraps that when you photograph it, it like reflects and it doesn't show you the features, the shape of the car.
Yes.
That's what Gally's shirt looks like to me. It's like hiding his true shape, his true form. So he can reveal it.
I love that. As I zoom in on that shirt, I wonder if the roses...
Or like felt.
A velour or velvet or whatever. That is my big question. So any of the Gally gals listening, if you've done research on this, let us know.
Overall, pretty good start. Pretty good start.
Tell me about Ethan Finley.
Golf dad Ethan Finley?
Yeah.
He looks like a golf dad. It looks good. I like that there's a little bit more detail than maybe a normal polo shirt, like the inside of the collar is pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I like the inside of the button area there. Yeah. That's nice.
That's what I meant. It's fine. It looks like I'm not going to change my style for anyone, but I am going to turn up the volume just a little bit. See if anyone notices. We noticed.
We noticed. I want to give a special shout out to Seba's new toilet bag this season. It looks very cool.
It's colorful.
Yeah. What's in it?
Tell us. You can tell us. We won't tell anyone.
I might. I might tell everyone that's listening, just as a heads up.
Great. Okay. All right. Do we want to get into the match?
I think we do.
Okay.
So
I'm going to defer to you on this because I watched live, but I didn't have the atmosphere around me.
And honestly, I missed the very beginning of the match because I was coming down from the top of the supporter section on the opposite side of the stadium from where my seats are.
Mm.
But this did give me a pretty cool opportunity. As I was coming back to my section, I saw a couple of the second team players hanging out at the top of our section.
Of our normal section?
Yeah, of section 107, right on the corner there. And I heard one of them say, man, I don't know. I think it's like 22,000. And then the other one said, oh, geez. Like breathlessly appreciating the atmosphere.
That's so cute.
It was so cool. And it was so neat. And like you could tell that this is a thing that they want to be playing in front of.
Yes.
You know what I mean? This is the goal for these guys.
Unmatched and, for atmosphere.
And it was so cool to see, and it was so cute. And I wanted to share that story because it was so, like, neat to see, you know?
Oh, I love that.
And so as we kicked into the first half, you know, it was a pretty tough first half of soccer, probably the hardest first half of soccer to watch that we've had as a team. And then, in the middle of the first half, our two center backs come over to start warming up. And so, immediately, I thought of you, Steph, because obviously that meant Julio was very close to us.
Mm-hmm. I'm literally gutted that I missed a Julio non-start.
Like, yeah. And so he came over to warm up. He's running around. And with him is Brendan Heinze-Eich, who in person is even more handsome than in photos.
Okay. Okay. I'm in. I'm interested.
Also very tall. And so they are warming up over in the corner next to us. And I also noticed that Chad Kolarczyk, your favorite trainer, was not there.
Was and somebody else an imposter?
I don't know. I don't know. Maybe he's sick. I don't know if he's like substitute no longer, trainer. Yeah, I don't know if he's no longer with the club. I don't know what the deal is. I haven't looked into it, but I did want to prepare you that potentially, you know, for our match on the 9th, you may not see your trainer Zaddy there.
Okay, interesting.
She is learning about this live on this.
Yeah, you didn't put that in the notes.
Nope. I wanted to get that live reaction.
Interesting. Oh, interesting. Okay.
So the first half, otherwise, once Julio went in, pretty continued, nothing much to talk about except frustration, right? I will say, sneaking in a little bit of tactical info here. I thought Julio looked the most comfortable on the ball of anyone on our team in the entire first half, other than King Bradley, who, like, if it weren't for him, we would have been so screwed.
Yeah, I want to talk about King Brad for a second.
Yeah.
There was a shot of him making a save with, like, I mean, when I say full extension, like, this man is tall and has long limbs. And all of it was from the very top to the very toe. Like, it was one of the most stunning soccer shots I've ever seen.
Yeah. He looked like a really cool dude. And he played like a really cool dude.
He is a really cool
dude. And he is a really cool dude, yeah. And so that was the whole first half. But then the second half came around and we started to show a little bit more life. It was a little bit more exciting. They had, like, the subs came over to warm up. And I noticed two things. I only put one in here, but the first thing I noticed was Jader O'Brien clapping along to Lomurga while warming up. And he kept, like, looking up into the stands and, like, just you could tell he was appreciating the vibe a lot.
Nice.
And I thought that was super cool. And welcome to Austin, Jader. And then the other thing I wanted to call out, Diego Rubio? Pretty short guy.
Yeah.
My short king is a really good aerial player as well. And so to see him be on the kind of shorter stature and also know that, like, statistically he goes and gets up for those balls, I'm really excited to see him get some real minutes here with us.
I was really impressed with, like, the passion,
yeah,
we'll say, that he showed during his time on the field. Like,
yeah, he's spicy.
Yeah, I am excited to see more spicy content.
Oh, phrasing.
Yep. Said what I said.
Yeah. And so then the rest of the second half goes on, and, you know, we got the consolation goal right at the very end, which brings us into our Selly ratings.
Mm-hmm.
And so, Steph, do you want to kind of kick us off on this rating here?
I mean, I think it's really hard because I don't know if fighting to stay alive goals are necessary. I think we should have a rating scale,
okay.
You know, because, like, if it's a, you know, we're already two down and this, I don't want to say it doesn't mean much, but we're in the 94th minute. And, you know, we did. Yay, we got one. Like, I think that should be rated on a different scale than a this puts us up goal.
Sure.
Do you
I understand what you're saying.
Okay.
I'm still going to use 1 to 10.
Well, I know what you're going to do.
Wow.
I think that it was, so I guess let's describe it. So Biru gets a goal. It's beautiful. And he does this like, ah, kind of scream with his fists doubled over. Like it's a real release of frustration. It looked like it's been a frustrating lack of goals. And now it's like a little bit of release of that. So I'm going to give it like I guess if we're just using the same 1 to 10 scale, I'll give it like a 6.
Sure. I really like the little heart hands at the end, back to the crowd. Like you could tell that his first yell was definitely either frustration or like, okay, sweet, I bagged my first one. But like, I don't want to go ham on the celebration.
Yeah.
But then the heart hands reminded us that like, oh, he does this for us.
Yeah.
And so for me, that earns a 9.5.
Yeah.
You know, that's a good 9.5 goal, Sully. You know what I mean?
Great.
look, y'all, I am really excited for our first backflip goal so that I can recalibrate.
Do you think that Diego Rubio does a backflip?
I hope not. I hope he does not, given that he had like ankle and knee injuries last year.
Oh.
I do not want that man inverted, but I do want someone, please, to do a backflip so that I can rate it a 10 and then I can start giving real ratings to these sellies.
Yeah, interesting. Okay.
But that is our only goal celebration to talk about. And so I think we should do an ad break. And then when we come back, we will go ahead and round out the show with our social media standouts.
All right. Toon Tower Soccer is brought to you by our friends at FBF Law, the official injury lawyers of Austin FC.
FBF is a different kind of personal injury law firm dedicated to community, transparency, and client education.
You can go to fbf.law to find out what makes FBF a different kind of injury law firm and why understanding your legal options can dramatically change the outcome of a case.
Our premier sponsor is McGuire Woods Consulting, helping clients in the public affairs space from lobbying at the local, statewide, and federal levels to digital and communications campaigns across the country.
McGuire Woods Consulting has offices in 10 MLS cities, but only advertises on this podcast because it's the home of the two-time reigning Copa Tejas champions, which is the most important trophy in professional sports. Contact our friends at McGuire Woods Consulting at www.mwcllc.com for more information. Did you write that about the Copa Tejas?
No, that's in...
Amazing.
That's in the copy.
Amazing.
Right?
Okay, social media standouts. There's been, I mean... To be fair, since we've taken a break, there's been a lot of social media and there's been a lot of standing out. But we're going to take this from the past like couple weeks.
Yeah. So I think the first thing I want to call out is how good the Armadillo kit like media blitz was.
I have never even heard of the Armadillo Club. What's it called?
Armadillo World Headquarters.
Armadillo World Headquarters. I'd never heard of it. But man, when I went to the release party... and saw that first hype video, I was hype. I was like, why didn't I know about this? This is everything that I want. This is amazing. Why did it close? I'm like retroactively like 25 years late to like being enraged about Armadillo World Headquarters closing.
Yeah. And I just think the whole event was so well done. It made me sad for the people who put it together, that the leak happened the way it did.
Agree. I totally agree. They put in so much work and like, we know what it takes to throw an event on a small scale. And so like doing something this big just to have it leaked in a video game, it really like hurts my heart from the work we have done standpoint.
Well, especially because the shirt looks so good.
Mm-hmm.
Like the texture on it and everything is so sick. Yeah. And you can't see that from this blurry little...
Well, imagine if the first thing you saw was Sebastian Driussi.
Right. Yeah, if you go back and retroactively imagine this is the first time you've seen the shirt. Like, yeah. What a sick reveal.
So much more impressed.
That said, I want to call out that the club media is... killing it still. I know we had a lot of turnover in the offseason. I, for one, was pretty nervous because, like, you know how much one creative voice can, like, impact output, right? And man, it's still really good.
Yeah, it's still really good. There have been a couple of videos that we're back on the very same hype train. Like, they are capturing the energy of it. When we got Seba's little, like, dance on the bench, like, stuff like that. They know what we want to see, and they're still giving it to us. And that's what's really important about a media team.
Speaking of things that are really important, we've had a lot of birthdays lately.
We've had a lot of birthdays, a lot of birthday posts, and a lot of, like, announcement posts. And I think the thing that I don't unfollow players when they've left, just because...
Oh, I do.
I don't unfollow anyone. Like, I just... My social media is a mess. But watching all of the comments on these posts, so, like, Felipe's birthday, we had so many of our boys posting stories to wish him a happy birthday. Andrew Tarbell had a new baby. All of the comments from our boys congratulating him, like, just the reminder that the relationships of, or the, I guess the time at clubs is so transitory, right?
There's fleeting,
so
yeah.
There's so much change, but they're still, like, human beings with friends who can keep those friendships across clubs. And I think that's really special.
Yeah, I think that's really cute. And it's a nice reminder that, like, they're people, you know. Mm-hmm. Along that route, we got to see Hector and Julio's kids wearing the new jersey. And how cute were they?
Anytime Hector or Julio's children are involved in anything, I just want kids. And then I remember that kids are a pain in the butt, but they're so cute. They're so cute, and they're just so invested. And I love seeing those posts.
Yeah. The first time I saw that post, I thought, what if these kids came up through the academy and then got to play for the same team as their dads?
Oh my gosh.
Could you imagine?
Yes.
Like, new Cascante and new Jimenez jerseys. Like,
yes, I can imagine.
How cute is that going to be? How special is that going to be when our club is old enough to have the kids of our players playing for them?
Yeah.
Potentially, right? Every time I see Jossie's kids scoring goals for the academy, I think about, like, could that be our first, you know, ex-player
Generation two.
Yeah. Like, I those are the thoughts that I have that mm-hmm. remind me that this is, like, a long haul thing, yeah. Right? It's not.
It's, you know, funny. I was thinking, so, you know, there's all this talk about the 100-year war. Yeah. And I was like, I'll be dead. You know what I mean? Like, none of us is going to get to see that.
Yeah.
And that's crazy.
Yeah.
That's just a thought I had. Anyway, you think about legacy and I think about death. And I think that sums up our relationship a lot. Anyway, you want to talk about the back to school pay less shoes ads?
God, how cute is this ad? Like, I don't know what they're selling, but I'm buying it.
Yeah. So the ad that we're talking about is CJ Faudre, and he is in a green locker room.
So, yeah, and there are a bunch of other players that are in these shots as well, but the CJ one, I think, is just so...
iconic.
Cute. Yeah. And, like, he's so back to school.
Yeah.
As a vibe.
Mm-hmm. It's wonderful. I love it.
And it's just so fun and so cute. And the, like, the big bright colors of that home green as the background of these shots makes it so cool. Also, it makes all of their white shoes stand out so much. Really, really great choice.
I want to talk about my other favorite photo from... So I mentioned Brad's full extension shot.
Yep.
My favorite photo. My second favorite photo... I don't know if it's a still.
Yeah.
It's a still.
it's just a still
from the video.
Yeah, you paused a video. That doesn't make it a photo.
I'm looking at it. But it's Denny Pereira hanging from the top of the net like you would on a playground, like Jungle Gym. It's so pure and so precious, and it just, like, exudes joy. And I think that, I don't know if, you know, if it's coming from the team or Danny himself, but there's a lot of like growing up, getting serious or whatever the version of that media looks like. There's been a lot of that fighting forward for him. So to get this glimpse that it's still Danny.
Yeah, he's still him.
You know, it's so joyful and so playful. And I loved seeing that. Yeah. And I love seeing his focus and his growth and all of that too. But it is nice to get like a little glimpse into what we love so much about him.
Yeah, I agree. Just really, really cute. One thing that we typically don't talk about is rumored players joining the club.
I thought you were just going to say rumors, and I was like, bro, our whole show is based on.
And so, like, in a lot of different areas, we have heard that Mikael Dessler is going to be joining our team in the summertime. And Mikael Dessler is a player with Toulouse in Ligue 1 right now.
I like him already.
And he will be playing outside back for us. He is super intense, and I am really excited to see his vibes here in Austin. But the real like star of our conversations, I think, should be Leo Labada, who is also rumored as being connected to our club, a much more handsome man.
I was going to say, like, if we're rating just on handsome.
Yeah. So, you know, from our perspective, you know, we are excited for both of these boys to join our team, and both of them will be far more handsome when they are on our team than any other team. But at least Leo Labada is already wearing green.
I was going to say, yeah, we know he looks good in green.
So, yeah, I mean, you know, I don't know how much we want to talk about rumors, but like those were fun. Yeah, I think those are fun. And so, yeah, I guess, Steph, that leaves us with one thing left to talk about for this first Swoon Tower episode of the season.
Yeah, the man of my jersey.
Yeah.
So it's so funny because I'm still so like 4 years in and I'm still so hesitant to get any name on a jersey. In the very first season, we got like basketball style Austin FC jerseys and we got Fagundes 14. And I think, you know, that ruined me because now I wear it. I was wearing it in Disney last week and I was like, this is just, it's wrong now. And I hate that feeling, which is why I'm still committed to never getting a name on the back of my jersey and why this segment is so vitally important. The man of my jersey this week is Brad Stuver.
Nice.
Our king, our icon, our idol. Through the entire offseason, he's been killing it. I think if you follow his like news report or his, what do they call him on Instagram now?
Updates. I don't know. Yeah.
He's just doing so much good. Always, and he's doing so much good on the pitch also, and he's very handsome and we love him.
Yeah, I think that's a great shout. Also, speaking of Brad Stuver and how good he is, he was talking about his post-playing career and considering getting a master's in public policy over the off season. Like, dude's got his head on his shoulders. Very cool guy. I would vote for Mayor Stu.
I would also vote for Brad.
Yeah. So consider this your first two votes, and yeah, we'll see you in a couple of weeks. Thanks.
Bye.